हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. Okay, now we're on. Verse 158, page 89. Whenever Lord Chaitanya went to the banks of the Ganges to take his bath, big crowds of many hundreds of thousands of people assembled there. Whenever the crowds were too great, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, raised his hands, and chanted, Hari, Hari. To which all the people responded, filling both the land and the sky with a vibration. Verses 160 to 171. Lord Chaitanya disperses his troops. After thus delivering the people in general, the Lord desired to leave Varanasi. After instructing Sri Sanatana Goswami, he sent him towards Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada. The actual purpose of Lord Chaitanya's stay at Varanasi after coming back from Vrindavan was to meet Sanatana Goswami and teach him. Sanatan Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after the Lord's return to Varanasi, where the Lord taught him for 2 months about the intricacies of Vaishnava philosophy and Vaishnava activities. After completely instructing him, he sent him to Vrindavan to execute his orders. When Sanatan Goswami went to Vrindavan, there were no temples. The city was lying vacant like an open field. Sanatana Goswami sat down on the bank of the Jamuna, and after some time he gradually constructed the first temple. Then other temples were constructed, and now the city is full of temples, numbering about 5,000. Because the city of Varanasi was always full of tumultuous crowds, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after sending Sanatana to Vrindavana, returned to Jagannath Puri. I have here given a brief account of these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, but later I shall describe them in an extensive way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates of the Panchatattva distribute the holy name of the Lord to invoke love of Godhead throughout the universe. And thus the entire universe was thankful. Lord Chaitanya dispatched the two great generals, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, to Vrindavan to preach the bhakti cult. Srila Prabhupada. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan, there was not a single temple. But by their preaching, they were gradually able to construct various temples. Sanatana Goswami constructed the Madan Mohan temple, and Rupa Goswami constructed Govindaji temple. Similarly, their nephew Jiva Goswami constructed the Radha Damodar temple. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami constructed the Radharaman temple. Sri Lokanath Goswami constructed the Gokulananda temple, and Shamananda Goswami constructed the Shamasundara temple. In this way, many temples were gradually constructed. For preaching, construction of temples is also necessary. The Goswamis not only engaged in writing books, but also constructed temples, because both are needed for preaching work. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the cult of his Sankirtan movement to spread all over the world. Now that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has taken up this task of preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya, its members should not only construct temples in every town and village of the globe, but also distribute the books that have already been written and further increase the number of books. Both the distribution of books and construction of temples must continue side by side in parallel lines. Okay, so his point is that you have both the preaching and the deity worship, they go together. The Pancharatrik and the Bhagavat, they go together. It's like Prabhupada gives the example of a train. It runs on two rails. So then you require both of them. So it's not that, oh, we don't need all that, we'll just preach. But then the problem is where do those preachers go after being out for a couple of weeks and they need more books? Right? Yeah. As Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and the common people, they've read the book. Now where do they go? So that's why you need both. Because without the books, you don't know about the temples. Without the temples, you don't understand the books. As Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were sent towards Mathura, so Nityananda Prabhu was sent to Bengal to preach extensively the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. The name of Lord Nityananda is very famous in Bengal. Of course, anyone who knows Lord Nityananda knows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. But there are some misguided devotees who stress the importance of Lord Nityananda more than that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is not good. Nor should Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be stressed more than Lord Nityananda. The author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, left his home because of his brother stressing the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over that of Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, one should offer respects for the Panchatattva without such foolish discrimination. Not considering Nityananda Prabhu is to be not considering Nityananda Prabhu to be greater, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be greater, or Advaita Prabhu to be greater. The respect should be offered equally. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda. All devotees of Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda are worshipable persons. Right, so it's always this balance. We should always be careful of these things. But this is, you know, this is there, so then, you know, you have to get the mercy of Nityananda, so they always impress on that. Or, no, it's all about Lord Chaitanya. So you have to find it. They go together, because the point is Panchatattva means all these aspects. Because Krishna, when he performs his pastimes, he's always with Balaram. Right? And so then all those pastimes go on because Balaram expands and is Mahanarayan. Right? And so then the background is always taken care of. So you have to see as they all go together. That's how then you have the Lord performs his pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went to South India, and he broadcast the holy name of Lord Krishna in every village and town. Thus the Lord went to the southernmost tip of the Indian peninsula, known as Setubandhu, Cape Cormoran. Everywhere he distributed the bhakti cult and love of Krishna, and in this way he delivered everyone. I have thus explained the truth of the Panchatattva. One who hears this explanation increases in knowledge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, one must chant the names of Sri Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shivas with their many devotees. This is the process. I again and again offer obeisances unto the Panchatattva. Thus, I think I will be able to describe something about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach the Sankirtan movement of love of Krishna throughout the entire world, and therefore, during his presence, he inspired the Sankirtana movement. Specifically, he sent Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan, and Nityananda to Bengal, and personally went to South India. In this way, he kindly left the task of preaching his cult in the rest of the world to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The members of the society must always remember that if they stick to their regular principles and preach sincerely according to the instructions of the acharyas, surely they will have the profound blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the preaching work will be successful everywhere throughout the world. Yeah, so it's, Lord Chaitanya does things himself and he leaves for others to do. And so in that way then, you know, everybody gets engaged. And so then by following then the acharyas, then we will able to be successful. We can't come up with our own ideas. So if the acharyas give one method, they give one understanding, one approach, we use that. We don't think that, oh no, that can't work, you know, it doesn't work in every town and village and all things like that. No, we have to accept it and just, it'll work. Conclusion. Although they are on the same platform, they have appeared differently in order to facilitate tasting of transcendental mellows. The personality of Godhead manifesting in order to enjoy five kinds of pastimes appears as the members of the Panchatattva. They manifest different spiritual varieties as a challenge to the impersonalist who tastes different kinds of spiritual humors. Actually, however, there is no possibility of one being different from the other, The worshipper and the worshipable cannot be separated in any stage, right? They always go together. But you can't separate them, but they go together. Right? On the absolute platform, one cannot be understood without the other. So, yeah. So they go, but you know is that even though they all go together, Lord Chaitanya is the source. Just like Krishna has his three features, his Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. And you understand each by the other, but you have to understand that Bhagavan is the origin. Chapter 8. The author receives the orders of Krishna and Guru, Pratigya. One should not take any responsibility on his own, but should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will then give him dictation as the Chaita Guru, or the spiritual master within. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 8th chapter gives the reason for describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It also describes the greatness of Lord Krishna's holy name. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 17.321. The 8th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is summarized by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Parvaha Bhasya. In this chapter, the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are described. And it is also stated that one who commits offenses in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra does not achieve love of Godhead, even after chanting for many years. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns against artificial displays of the bodily symptoms called astasattvika vikara. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 1499. That is also an offense. One should seriously and sincerely continue to chant the Panchatattva name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. All these acharyas will bestow the causeless mercy upon a devotee and gradually purify his heart. When he is actually purified, automatically he will experience ecstasy in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Previous to the composition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote a book called Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Only those subjects which were not discussed by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat have been taken up by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to be depicted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his very old age, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to Vrindavan. By the order of Sri Madan Mohanji, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus, we are now able to relish its transcendental bliss. The end of this chapter expands on verses 15 and 16 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shlokana Sharanam, summary of verses 1 to 32, the process of offenseless chanting, 33 to 49, the glories of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, 50 to 85, commentary on verses 15 and 16. Verses 1 to 32, the process of offenseless chanting. I offer my respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog and suddenly taken to the riding of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, although I am a fool. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gaurasundara. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto Nityananda Prabhu, who is always very joyful. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaitacharya, who is very merciful, and also to that great personality Gadadhar Pandit, the learned scholar. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srivas Thakur and all the other devotees of the Lord. I fall down to offer them respect. I worship their lotus feet. 1-4. Yeah, this one is that, because generally the Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. This one gives a little bit more. It gives something, explanation of their person. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami teaches us first to offer respect to the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Garadhar Prabhu, and Srivas Prabhu and other devotees. We must strictly follow the principle of offering respects to the Panchatattva, as summarized in the mantra Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhara, Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. At the beginning of every function in preaching, especially before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we must chant the Panchatattva's names and offer our respects unto them. By remembering the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, a dumb man can be made a poet, a lame man can cross the mountains, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Srila Prabhupada. In Vaishnava philosophy, there are three ways for perfection, namely, sadhana siddha, perfection attained by executing devotional service according to the rules and regulations. Nitya siddha, eternal perfection, attained by never forgetting Krishna at any time. And kripa siddha, perfection attained by the mercy of the spiritual master or another Vaishnava. Kaviraj Goswami here stresses kripa siddha, perfection by the mercy of superior authorities. This mercy does not depend on the qualifications of a devotee. By such mercy, even if a devotee is dumb, he can speak or write to glorify the Lord splendidly. Even if lame, he can cross mountains, and even if blind, he can see stars in the sky. So that, if that has that focus, so if one can focus on the Lord all the time, then that's what you want to get to. But if not, you focus on serving the devotees and their mercy, and then by that, then you'll be absorbed in the Lord. So, the education cultivated by so-called learned scholars do not believe these statements of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the tumultuous croaking of frogs. Srila Prabhupada, the croaking of frogs in the rainy season resounds very loudly in the forest, with the results that snakes, hearing the croaking in the darkness, approach the frogs and swallow them. Similarly, the so-called educational vibrations of the tongues of university professors who do not have spiritual knowledge is like the croaking of frogs. Yeah. So it's always important to appreciate. It doesn't mean that persons functioning in the field of karma don't have intelligence and are not able to use it in so many wonderful ways. But it doesn't mean that they're actually of the highest level of intelligence, which means to understand the Lord and their relationship. In other words, being able to work within the material field and become have knowledgeable and expert in that, of course, is something special here. But the point is unless one is cultivating that knowledge of Krishna and understands Krishna, then we can't say one's actually intelligent, right? Because that's the actual position, right? So they may be karmis and have so much intelligence, or gyanis and have so much intelligence, right? Or yogis and have so much intelligence. But the intelligence that the Veda is talking about is the intelligence of appreciating and surrendering to the Lord. That intelligence makes one intelligence. Otherwise, there's others like the croaking of frogs, right? Frogs can croak so nicely. You know, it's like, I don't know, sometimes you notice, like here you don't hear them so much, but then after sometimes a big storm and this huge amount of rain, then that night you hear just millions of frogs croaking. Like that. So that's the meaning of the tumultuous sound of the frogs. Right? One who does not accept the glories of the Panchatattva, but still makes a show of devotional service to Krishna, can never achieve the mercy of Krishna or advance to the ultimate goal. Right? Because this is Lord Chaitanya's age. He's come. And so without the Yuga avatar, how will one progress very nicely? Right? You know, to meet devotional service to Krishna. Now one could say, well, what about Ramanuja and Madhva and that they don't talk about? They know, that's why, by his mercy, that they're able to function. But they're opening the doors to Vaikuntha, not to Goloka. Like that. So to get into Goloka is by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada, if one is seriously interested in Krishna conscious activities, he must be ready to follow the rules and regulations laid down by the acharyas, and he must understand their conclusions. The Shastra says, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapantaha. Mahabharata Vanaparva 3.13.117. It is very difficult to understand the secret of Krishna consciousness. But one who advances by the instruction of the previous acharyas and follows in the footsteps of his predecessors in the line of disciplic succession will have success. Others will not. Right? So if you do like that, you'll be successful. If you don't do like that, you won't. It's simple. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says in this connection, Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nishkara Peyeche Keva. Unless one serves the spiritual master and acharyas, one cannot be liberated. Elsewhere he says, I simply accept a person who follows in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, and the dust of such a person's lotus feet is my food. Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kamsa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Lord Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada, in these verses, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, is very seriously stressing the importance of worshipping the Panchatattva. One becomes a devotee of Gaurasundara, or Krishna, but does not give importance to the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. His activities are considered to be offenses, or, in the words of Srila Rupa Goswami, utpata, disturbances. One must therefore be ready to offer due respects to the Panchatattva before becoming a devotee of Lord Gaurasundara or of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes.
So it sounds like that Kripa of Srila Prabhupada manifests in the form of sadhana for us. So it's one and the same thing.
Yes. It means following the instructions. So so you always have to apply the instructions. So that's also then something that we see. It'll come up in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the Sanatana Goswami. That having heard all these instructions for 2 months from Lord Chaitanya, then Sanatana Goswami asked that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy that he may be able to understand it and apply it. You know, that's why Prabhupada says you have to become into and understand the conclusions. Where was that? He mentioned that. And he must understand that, he must be ready, it means, if one is seriously interested in Krishna consciousness, he must be ready to follow the rules and regulations laid down by the acharya. So he's heard, so he may be understanding, but he must be ready to follow, and he must understand their conclusions. So that being inspired being able to follow and to understand the conclusions, that's also by the mercy of the guru. So, It's a further aspect, is that we surrender to Guru, but we surrender that we're going to take the instructions, we're going to try to follow them, and we're going to try to understand their importance. So that combination, that's then what will give success. So that's why then if we accept Lord Chaitanya, but not the Panchatattva, then there'll be a weakness there. Because Lord Chaitanya has manifested five features to taste all the aspects of rasa. He's come to taste rasa. But without all these, it's not going to come out so strongly. One who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a demon. Similarly, anyone who does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is also to be considered a demon. Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, there were kings like Jarasandha who strictly followed the Vedic rituals, acted as charitable, competent Kshatriyas, possessed all Kshatriya qualities, and were even obedient to the Brahminical culture, but who did not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jarasandha attacked Krishna many times, and in each time, of course, he was defeated. Like Jarasandha, any man who performs Vedic rituals but does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered an asura or demon. Right? So even though he's pious, right? So that's a weakness. If we take it that the piety is the main thing, and because of that, that's why it'll happen, then you come up with all kinds of strange understandings and practices like that. So one must appreciate, no, it's accepting of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the main thing. Then from there, then you see how to apply everything. Okay. Similarly, one who does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna himself is also a demon. This is the conclusion of authoritative scriptures. So it's fortunate that in this age, Lord Chaitanya is very kind, and he doesn't kill all the demons, but he makes them devotees. So even if one is a demon, one has a chance still, if one surrenders to you know, Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, unless people accept me, they will all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. If a person offers obeisances to me, even due to accepting me only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distress will diminish and he will ultimately get liberation. So as we see, he goes through South India. Even if they don't understand him as the personality of Godhead, they will offer obeisances to him as the greatest sannyasi. So in that way, they will get purified. Like that. But it still doesn't mean they're not a demon. It just means they're... One who does not show respect unto this merciful Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or does not worship him should be considered a demon, even if he's very much exalted in human society. Therefore, I again say, lifting my arms, O fellow human beings, please worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda without false arguments. Logicians say, quote, unless one gains understanding through logic and argument, how can one decide upon a worshipable deity? Right? Because they're taking it that their rationale is the main thing. And if you're just hearing something and you appreciate it and accept it, they take it that you're just sentimental. They have no concept of actually you can analyze something and come to a point of faith. Because for the rationalist, it's just logic. They're doing things just because it's logical, not because they have faith. So that's the problem. That they're being faithless, they don't know what faith is. So therefore, they just say it's sentimental and it's not based on intelligence or rationale. But they don't appreciate that. No, if you apply that process on the transcendental in pursuance of what the acharyas have given, then it gives you a different result. It gives you transcendental understanding. Well, they don't have that. They rely on their own intelligence. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami pointed out, I'm just following in the footsteps. So if we're following the footsteps, then we'll understand it. We think, no, I'm doing this. I'm smart. I'll figure it out. Then it won't. It won't happen. Yes?
If some scientists will read about life and investigate life and teaching of Lord Chaitanya without understanding the truth of God,
They'll always get some benefit, but it doesn't mean that it's just like this. Someone hasn't surrendered to Krishna. He's walking down the street, he sees the Rath Yatra, hears the Kirtan. That's the Gyata Sukriti. So can it doesn't mean that he's not still not interested in God consciousness and only interested in materialism.
Some group of devotees, who are scientists in Russia, tried to put name of Lord Chaitanya in historical books about
philosophy. You can, it's nice. Nice, if you can do these things, it's always good. It's always good. The point is anything connected to Krishna, you're getting benefit. But the point is if you want pure devotion, you want prema bhakti, then you have to very strictly follow the way the acharyas are given. But if you're contacting in any way, that is in contact with the parampara, you're always going to get benefit. You're always going to move forward. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So if they want to apply it, apply it there. But they'll say, oh no, they won't read these books. So then how is that rational? Right? If you have to figure everything out yourself, then why are you using a car? Did you figure that out? No. Then walk. You know?
Computer and phones.
Yeah, what about those? Because they'll say, yeah, see, by our rationale, we've given you this. Who's we? Like that, you know. Remember that the guys working in Silicon Valley are Hindus. They gave us the phones. They've given the copies of the phones. Yeah, and so they also, you know, there's they have the other kind of, you know, the Tao and all these kind of things like that. So problem comes down is that just mundane rationale, the logicians and all that, it's not enough. It just isn't. You have to understand is that If you want to have knowledge, you have to function in the area of that knowledge. If I want to know, mathematics, I have to study in the field of mathematics. I can't say, just studying that, I'll just on my own contemplate whatever I want to contemplate, and I'll understand math. That doesn't make any sense. So they say, no, I'll use my rationale, and I'll understand God. When the books of God and all that are there, they don't study them. So how is that even logical by their own scientific method? So therefore, it's just atheism. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection that people in general, in their narrow-minded conception of life, create many different types of humanitarian activities, right? And these are the narrow-minded ones. So the ones that don't even connect, that, how narrow is that? So within the narrow-minded society, some create humanitarian activities, you know, like this. And so then they'll consider to be, you know, much more liberal and broad-minded and everything like that. But compared to Lord Chaitanya, these are narrow-minded people, because it's only within the mundane. You're only helping the body. And you're not going to the soul, so how broad is it?
Right. That. Maharaj, is that where the term pinhead came from? Narrow mind?
Pinhead, maybe. Okay. In their narrow-minded conception of life, create many different kinds of humanitarian activities. But the humanitarian activities inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are different. For logicians who want to accept only what is to be proven through logic and argument, it's a fact that without logic and argument, there can be no question of accepting the absolute truth. Unfortunately, when such logicians take to this path without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they remain on the platform of logic and argument and do not advance in spiritual life. Right, so you are going to look at it and analyze it and look at it logically, because you're going to hear from devotees, you're going to explain philosophy, you're going to think about that, it's going to make sense. Therefore, then you're going to take up the process. But the point is that you're hearing in this line from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why it's working. But if they approach it on their own without the parampara, they still won't understand. Because right? Even in their idea, is if you do your own study, you won't understand if you approach the academy and study under a mentor. Then you'll understand. So it's the same principle. Why do they think it's going to be different? However, if one is intelligent enough to apply his arguments and logic to the subtle understanding of the fundamental spiritual substance, he will be able to know that a poor fund of knowledge established on the basis of material logic cannot help one understand the absolute truth, which is beyond the reach of imperfect senses. Right? So you understand you can't do it materially. The Mahabharata therefore says, Achintya kalau ye bhava na tams tarkena yo jayet. Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, 5:22. How can that which is beyond the imagination or sensory speculation of mundane creatures be approached simply by logic? If it's beyond what your instruments that you have, the senses and the mind, if it's beyond that, how can you understand it with something that's less? You know, that doesn't make sense. You know, it's like I'm going to take my thermometer, you know, for that used for the checking the kids, you know how you say temperature, and from that I'm going to understand, like, let's say the temperature of gold or something. You can't measure; it's beyond it. You stick it into the gold, it'll just melt. Well, it's not going to, right? And you always see that, right? When there's always this kind of demoniac mentality that wants to know everything in that, when they finally do, you know, someone does allow them to know all the knowledge in the universe, they actually generally melt down or something or explode. You know, something happens to them. It just doesn't work out. So, right? Isn't it? Yeah. By putting forward mundane logic, one frequently comes to the wrong conclusion regarding the absolute truth. And as a result of such a conclusion, one may fall down to accept a body like that of a jackal. Okay. That's why there's getting more and more jackals, right?
Yeah.
Sarvabhauma compared himself to a jackal before he accepted.
Lord Chaitanya, okay. Because they're clever. right? The jackal is a form of foxes and that, you know, so they're clever. Okay. Yeah, because I think it's said, you know, when you have the king's court, the jackal will always be like the minister or things like that. You know, the clever one.
Another place is mentioned that in Mahabharata there was a story that somebody became a jackal. He was he derided the scriptures, though he was an intellectual.
Oh, okay. So at least in these days, one does not have to worry that the jackals will go extinct, right? You know, the modern society is plenty.
You don't hear about saving the jackals.
No, you don't, because that's the thing. There's so many of them. They're pests. Right? You know, okay. Despite all this, those who are actually inquisitive to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through logic and argument are welcome. Right? In other words, somebody who is intelligent wants to use that, they can come forward and try to analyze what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, according, you know, hearing from the Parampara. Then you can understand is, yes, this is something more than what anybody else is giving. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami addresses them, please put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy at your crucial test. And if you are actually a logician, you will come to the right conclusion that there is no personality more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. End quote. Let the logicians compare all the results of other humanitarian work with the merciful activities of Lord Chaitanya. If their judgment is impartial, they will understand that no other humanitarian activities can surpass those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? If it's impartial. So in other words, this method of impartial logic, it's always been there. It's not a new thing. You know, they try to make it sound like they have a monopoly on that or something. It's always been there. The point is whether it's addressed It's just whether it's addressed at, you know, hearing from proper authorities and then applying your logic, then you have something, because you're working with something proper. Otherwise, if you have only those things that are gained through the senses, one won't understand. Yes?
It's an irony, actually, because Mahaprabhu was the teacher of logic.
Yes.
Yes.
Like that. And then he's showing how that, you know, what he experienced after initiation from his guru is beyond that logic. So that is a very good point, because then you can say, oh, but he never tried. No, he was a teacher of logic, and he was the best at that. So then when he says it's beyond, you have to take it seriously. If one is infested with the 10 offenses to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of his chanting. It's always so nice, this term, infested. You know, it's like the house is full of bugs or something. It's infested. Srila Prabhupada. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the absolute are as good as the absolute himself. Thus, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he considers himself an eternal servant of the holy name, and in this spirit distributes the holy name to the world, one who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sevan Mukhe hi jihwadao, Swayam eva spuratyada. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service in a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue. Sevan Mukhe hi jihwadao. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna conscious movement is based on this principle. By cultivating philosophical knowledge, one can understand his spiritual position and thus be liberated. And by performing sacrifices and pious activities, one can achieve sense gratification in a higher planetary system. But the devotional service to the Lord is so rare that even by executing hundreds and thousands of such sacrifices, one cannot obtain it. Right? So by cultivating the knowledge like this, we can get liberated. By performing sacrifice, pious activities, you can be elevated to the heavenly planets. But bhakti is so rare that by performing, you know, hundreds and thousands of such sacrifices and you know, of the intelligence and of karma, one can't get bhakti. Not saying you can't get the goal of bhakti, you just can't get bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? But by bhakti, you automatically get the goals of all these others. Does that make sense? So bhakti will give you the results of the other process, but the other processes cannot give you, even situate yourself in bhakti. That's the fun part. Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj instructs, Matir na krishne paratasvato va mito vipadyeta griha vratanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30. Naisham matis tavad uru kramang grim sprishat yanartha pagamo yarartha mahi yashampara rajo bishekam nishkinshananam na vrinita yavata. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:32. These shlokas are to be discussed. Their purport is that one cannot obtain Krishna bhakti or the devotional service to the Lord by official execution of the Vedic rituals. One has to approach a pure devotee. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payeche Keva. Who has been elevated without rendering service to a pure Vaishnava? It is the statement of Prahlad Maharaj that unless one is able to accept the dust from the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava, there is no possibility of achieving the platform of devotional service. That is the secret. The above mentioned Tantra Vachana, quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1136, is our perfect guide in this connection. Which one was Bhakti Rasamrita?
It's the verse 17 of CC, was a quote from. By cultivating philosophical knowledge.
Oh, okay. Or the Jivan Mukesi Hiji without. Oh, no, this is 1136. So that's this one, by cultivating knowledge?
Yes.
So that's a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Yeah, so this is a secret. It is only by bhakti you get bhakti. So here, associating with the pure devotee, that's how you get bhakti. The great sage, if a devotee wants liberation or material sense gratification from the Lord, Krishna immediately delivers it, but pure devotional service he keeps hidden. Right? So you can take up devotion. You can take up the process that of devotional service. So when you have the Arta Artarti, Jnani, and Jigyasu, that it's explained that the Arta Artarti, they're interested in karma, and the Jnani and Jigyasu are interested in liberation. Right? That's why they come to Krishna consciousness, because they see through Krishna consciousness they can get some material benefit or liberation. But now, if they're in that association of the pure devotees, they appreciate that there's that pure bhakti is the actual point. Then that they'll move to the next platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's important to note. So, yeah. So that's why the jnani is still considered on the neophyte platform. They appreciate, they have respect for the Lord, and they have that gratefulness, but still there's that interest in being freed from material entanglement. So the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, right, so if you want, then it's revealed. If you don't want, Krishna will keep it hidden. Right? Because what's the result of pure bhakti? Krishna gives himself. So unless that's something you want, then why should it be so obvious? But if that's of interest, you've heard from the devotees that this is what is that, then it will be revealed. The great sage Sukadeva said, "My dear Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always ready to help you. He is your master, guru, God, and very dear friend, and also the head of your family. Yet sometimes he agrees to act as your family's servant or order carrier. You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is possible only by bhakti yoga. The Lord can give liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not very easily give one bhakti yoga. Because by that process he is bound to the devotee." Right? So that's why it's rare, because then he's bound, he's controlled by the devotee. So it's special. Srila Prabhupada. This passage is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. While Sukadeva Goswami was describing the character of Rishabhdev, he distinguished between bhakti yoga and liberation by reciting this verse. In relationship with the Yadus and Pandavas, the Lord acted sometimes as their master, sometimes as their advisor, sometimes as their friend, sometimes as the head of the family, and sometimes even as their servant. Krishna once had to carry out an order of Yudhishthira's by carrying a letter Yudhishthira had written to Duryodhana regarding peace negotiations. Similarly, he also became the chariot driver of Arjuna. This illustrates that in bhakti yoga there is a relationship established between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotee. Such a relationship is established in the transcendental mellows known as Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. If a devotee wants simple liberation, he gets it very easily from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Mukti Swayam Mukul Tanjali Sevate Sman. For a devotee, mukti is not very important, because mukti is always standing at his doorstep, waiting to serve him in some way. The devotee, therefore, must be attracted by the behavior of the residents of Vrindavan, who live in a relationship with Krishna. The land, water, cows, trees, and flowers serve Krishna in Shantaras. His servants serve him in Dasyaras. And his cowherd friends serve him in Sakyaras. Similarly, the elder gopis and gopas serve Krishna as father and mother, uncle, and other relatives. And the young gopis, the cowherd girls, serve Krishna in conjugal love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given this love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen. Sun went down. Notice that? Just there's that moment it just suddenly got cold, just right about 30 seconds ago. The sun just went down. That's how it works. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given the love, this love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen, such as Jagai and Madhai, right? So if they can get it, basically anyone can get it. So we don't have to worry about all things. And their Brahmin families and all that, they're misdirected. You know, like this, you can say, well, they were just only rascals. But we have to remember, they did study the scriptures. Like that, they were Brahmins, they studied scriptures. Otherwise, how do you break every rule of Manu unless you study it? Right? Yeah.
I found one we didn't break.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's, hey, okay, you know, and then they come up with a plan. And, yeah.
Right. Let's do four at once.
Yeah. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was freely giving this love everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen, such as Jagai and Madhai. What then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated? Right. So someone who's more. So if Jagai and Madhai can get it, then why not those who are already more pious and elevated? So much easier it is for them to take it up and fall if they surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So the point is, if you surrender, then it works. And if you don't surrender, then it doesn't work. Generally, I'd say it works less, but in this case, we'll just say it doesn't work.
Can you see that Jagai and Madhai examples of Kripa Siddha?
Are Jagai and Madhai examples of Kripa Siddha? What would be the other alternative? Archan Siddha, Sadhana Siddha?
Because then it goes sadhansiddhas nor nityasiddhas.
So then by elimination then?
No, I'm just trying to figure out for myself, you know.
But I mean saying you have only so many options. So we figured out they're not nityasiddha. Right? They're not sadhana siddha. And they're not archan siddha.
Yeah.
So then what siddha does that leave except alu siddha? Right? And they seem to be glorified, so they're above that. No?
Yeah.
Then?
Because Kripa Siddha is a very rare case.
Okay. 2 plus 2 is... Okay. There's four ways to gain the Lord's, gain that position. So there's Nitya Siddha, there's Archan Siddha, there's Sadhana Siddha, and there is... Okay, and so they're not the first three, so that would mean they are... Yes. But because it's rare, they can't get it? How many Jagai Madais are there? Right?
We know only one from the scripture.
Yeah, so then that's not rare? So it means the Kripa Siddha can only be given to somebody who's highly qualified.
Or she even understands dog.
Huh?
Or she even understands dog.
Yeah, or she even understands dog, yes. He also has a Kripa Siddha. You know what I'm saying? So is piety the basis of bhakti?
No.
Is intelligence?
No.
And logic. So then what's the problem? See, because we're taking it, no, unless you're a fabulous guy, you can't get Kripa Siddha. The point is, that's why he was saying, is if you look at Lord Chaitanya, apply your logic to who's the most munificent, who's doing the greatest humanitarian work, is Lord Chaitanya. Right? Hence, papi tapi jato chilo, hari namer udar rilo. Say, what is it? Say saki jagai matai. Right? They're the evidence that whatever there is, you know, Lord Chaitanya, that's how we were opening the earlier chapters, is that he's opened the storehouse of love of God, and so many are drowning in the nectar of Krishna Prema. But all the Pashandis and, you know, all these others and that are not.
The worst of the students.
Yes, the worst of the students, all those kind of things. They're not. And so, therefore, then how to catch them also. And then we saw the pastime. How, so he got all the other ones, right? By making some endeavor, the devotees got them. But the Mayavadis weren't getting. So, therefore, then we see even Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi and caught them. So that means everybody is getting the mercy. So why not Jagai Madai?
Yeah. So basically, Chaitanya Charitamrita is basically giving the examples of all Kripa Siddhas because...
Yeah, all the Kripa Siddhas, but also although those who are sadhana, those who are, you know, all these different things. So many devotees are there. So it's not because of your material qualifications, therefore one is more advanced. It's one who surrenders. So they surrendered. So then, therefore, then they got the mercy. It's not that Lord Chaitanya came along and they were standing over in the corner with their arms crossed or something like that, you know, that attitude on their face. You know, there's one of the, what do you call it? You know, Indian, what do you call it? What's that? The Swaraj.
Lokmanya Tilak? Lokmanya Tilak?
I'm not sure. There's a younger guy and he's standing there like this. And that. He's very, very popular like that. He's one of the revolutionaries for the independence of India, like that. And also, you know, how you say, the friend of that foolish Pujari, he also stands like that. And so, it's not that they were standing there, you know, who are these guys, you know, like that. And, you know, I say, hey, we're handing out mercy, you're going to take that? So, well, I tried everything else, yeah, I might as well try that, you know. So. So they surrendered. So that therefore, then the, so the point is, doesn't matter what your background is. If you surrender to Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Not that no, only qualified people can surrender. No, it's the soul. Whenever they see that importance, then they surrender. From that moment, then they have that mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It has nothing to do with material qualifications. It's important to note, but it mentions that what to speak of those who are already pious and elevated just makes it so much easier for them to surrender, and that they're used to using their intelligence properly, and that they apply it to Lord Chaitanya's mission. They already have a pious background, so for them to follow the practices are very easy. So why wouldn't they get the mercy? But it's not because they are pious and elevated that's why they're getting the mercy, and that's why Jagai and Mare are not qualified. It's very important. Does that make sense? You know, generally it's that you don't have too much of a smart kind of scene in the Western kind of thing, but in India you have it a bit. So one always has to be careful that it's not because of that qualification. So does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, sir?
Sometimes we can surrender to Krishna when we feel some trouble.
Yes.
How to do it constantly?
Means when there's some trouble, we have a tendency to surrender to Krishna. So how to make it steady? Well, either we make it steady, or Krishna will just always make trouble for us. And so then you always have an opportunity to always be surrendered. It's just your choice. But if we think, okay, I'll surrender so there isn't trouble, then that's not exactly surrendering, so probably the trouble may still remain. So,
some Christian theologians say that if you don't have faith, you need to jump into the faith. It's only one choice to jump. We don't have, but if we will close our eyes and jump into it, then we will get some experience.
Okay.
Will it work in the...
Will it work?
Surrender.
Sorry?
Will this approach work?
Will this approach work? It depends who you're hearing from and who you're surrendering to. It means if you're hearing from the pure Vaishnavas, like here we're reading from Srila Prabhupada and all that, and we don't have that faith, but we have that appreciation of that Prabhupada says is true, and then we take that leap of faith, then yes, it'll work. Does that make sense? That will move you forward. But standing there and the person behind you says, just fall backwards, I'll catch you, that's not necessarily going to move you forward in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Too esoteric. Yes? So that's the thing, you see. Always try. You have the faith to take the leap of faith, and that will give you faith. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, the distinction between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift to human society and the gifts of others is that whereas so-called philanthropic and humanitarian workers have given some relief to human society as far as the body is concerned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the best facilities for going back home, back to Godhead, with love of Godhead. Right. So, as we were discussing earlier, is that you can appreciate, yes, they're doing something, they're trying to help out people in their body, on the bodily situation. And so it's nice that they care and they're concerned and all that, and they're willing to share their facilities. The philanthropic generally means money. Humanitarian means that generally they put in the work themselves, right? So that's nice, but the problem is it only goes as far as the body is concerned. Like that. So then here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving the facilities for the soul to understand and go back to Godhead with love of Godhead. right? Not just liberation to get out of the material world and come back. One seriously makes a comparative study of the two gifts. Certainly, if he is at all sober, he will give the greatest credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was with this purpose that Kaviraj Goswami said. Right? So, one seriously makes a comparative study of the two, because one gives an eternal result, one gives a temporary result. That you feed them, tomorrow they'll be hungry. Okay, they're not hungry today, that's a good thing. But they'll be hungry tomorrow. So you haven't really solved the problem of the soul. The body, yes, you're doing something, but what about the soul? You fed this body, does the soul get some benefit? Or you sat with them and made them feel comfortable and more secure. Okay, nice, but now what about the soul? But so they haven't addressed that. So definitely they're giving something. That's why he says of the two gifts. It means it's a gift. It's something that's there. But one should appreciate that there's levels of these gifts also. Right? And so then on the material platform, one does whatever one's able to do. So you don't necessarily take it that this guy gives more money, this one gives less. Because this one can give more and the other one can't give more. He can only give less. Then you consider them equal. They're giving, doing their best. But at the same time, there's a difference between the material and the spiritual. So the gift only on the material platform is going to give temporary results, while the gift on the spiritual will give eternal results. And the fun part is on the spiritual platform, it also includes the material platform. So Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami said, well, if you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it strikingly wonderful. C.C. Adi Lila 8:15. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Dinahina dato jato chilo hari name udarilo tara shaki jagai madhai. Oh, okay. So it must be a different place. It's also Papi Tapi Jato Chilo. Like that. So, because sometimes you come in different places it uses the. Because it means the Dinahina, fallen and terrible, whatever there was. And Papi Tapi is, it means, you say Papi Tapi means those who are sinful. Papi Tapi means, those who are sinful and the like. It's like, how you say it? You use it in. It's like the saying English Minglish or something. just like that. You're saying
grammar.
It just means anything where you're just meeting means that and everything else. Like that. So that's the Papi Tapi one. And this Dina Hina, that one means fallen, and I think here Hina means kind of like not nice. The two brothers Jaga and Madai epitomized the sinful population of this age of Kali. They were most disturbing elements in society because they were meat eaters, drunkards, womanizers, rogues, and thieves. Just to name a few, just to name the major points of their
That's the highlight.
Yeah, of their you have the
resume.
Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them. To say nothing of others who are sober, pious, devoted, and conscientious. Right? So that's the point, is he's giving them so then somebody else can get. So that's the whole point, is that's his mercy. He's most merciful. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that to say nothing of the brahminically qualified devotees and rajarshis, kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayas tata. Anyone who, by the association of pure devotee, comes to Krishna consciousness becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So those who are more pious, then if they have that sincerity, then it's just so easy for them. Because they already have that kind of practice. And so then naturally, then it's very nice. But you see, is that Jagai Mare, just because of their position, they just surrender. They had no other qualification. And they get the mercy of the Lord. So that.
Yes. Can we say that, so the sadhana siddhas, they follow their sadhana, and then the process of chitta, dharpa, and marjana. So in the case of kripa siddha, is it that Krishna or an advanced devotee is actually cleansing it for them from the other side?
It means that by gaining their mercy, then one is cleansed. Because that's what Krishna says. He will protect you from all these sinful reactions. But you have to surrender for it to work.
Right.
Because otherwise, if he's trying to clean them and you're holding on to them.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, opening the closet, throwing things out of the closet, and while you're in there throwing things out of the closet, the guy outside, you know, he's taking them, putting them into a box, you know, and then putting them up in the attic or something. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Considering the chaotic condition of human society, if one actually wants peace and tranquility, one must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and engage always in Bhagavad Dharma. Engagement in Bhagavad Dharma dissipates all ignorance and passion. And when ignorance and passion are dissipated, one is freed from greed and lust. When freed from greed and lust, one becomes brahminically qualified. And when a brahminically qualified person makes further advancement, he becomes situated on the Vaishnava platform. It is only on this Vaishnava platform that it is possible to awaken one's dormant love of Godhead. And as soon as one does so, his life is successful. So, you're dissipating passionate ignorance, right? And so then one's free from greed and lust. Right, so that's the point. Then becoming brahminically qualified, so that means you have the attitude of that service and everything like that. So it's you're performing those activities. Then he understands the Vaishnava platform. That Vaishnava platform, then that gives rise to love of Godhead. Does that make sense?
Is that a correlation, ignorance to greed and passion to lust, or is it just together? Just in general.
Well, greed, you just want more. You know, it's like lust is there because then you'll get a result, and greed, you want more of it. So there has to be ignorance as the basis of it. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's an ignorant. It means it's a direct thing like sleep or intoxication like that. It means that you just want more of the results of being in ignorance and there and thinking that things in passion will give you happiness. Right, so it brings you to the brahminical platform, so you're accepting the duties that are there, the platform, you know, the practices and all that, so the sadhana. So the point is that, see, Jagannath and Madhai, they surrendered on the spot. And then, you know, they took up the practices of Krishna consciousness. But they had already received that mercy, and then they practiced in like this. But for us, we're hearing about it and then taking up the practices. Right? And then, slowly, slowly, then we're starting to surrender. That makes sense? So basically, we'll be using the practice of sadhana siddha. But the point is that we're always praying for the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. But as Prabhupada points out, we don't just sit around waiting for it. Like Prabhupada says, is that people go to the university, they get degrees, but there are people who don't go to the university because they're so expert in their field, then they get a degree. But he said we shouldn't be sitting around like that. We'll do nothing and then expect a degree. No, we're performing the sadhana, but at the same time we're surrendering to the devotees and expecting the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. And so then. Then they go together. So we appreciate that it's not because I'm doing this, that's why I'm getting. It's by the mercy of the devotees. So even if they are practicing nicely sadhana, they still see it as that it's the devotees' mercy is what's causing their good fortune. So, yeah. At present, human society is specifically cultivating the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. Although there may be some symptoms of passion, rajoguna, right? Some symptoms, some little touch here and there. Full of kama and loba, lust and greed, the entire population of the world consists mostly of shudras and a few vaishyas. So also here it appears that lust and greed are maybe ignorance. And then when it's applied, right? That you want some results from that, then that's the passion. But just being in that condition where you're just existing in lust and greed, that appears to be ignorance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But then when you apply it to get a result, you know, and it's not the opposite of what you would expect, that would be passion. If it's opposite of what you expect, that will be ignorance.
I was thinking greed was more passive and lust was more active, so that's why I was thinking maybe ignorance, passion, but
that,
it's not necessarily like that.
No, yeah, but I just, that they each kind of like nourish each other. But, so that's the... Because unless you've gained something from lust, how do you get greedy? Right, because of greed, therefore you engage more in lust.
Right.
So each.
Unless you just observe someone else getting something and you get greedy for it.
Yeah, that's also there. But then that has the element of jealousy or envy.
Yeah, envy.
Yeah, envy. Yeah, so it all has that kind of position to it. So. Okay.
They're all really tied together.
Yes, they're all really tied
together. They're actually very good friends. They're from the Kali family.
Yes, yes. They're all relatives. They're all
anger, greed, envy, gratitude,
have speech, all these people.
Yeah, they're all relatives. Full of kama and loba, lust and greed, the entire population of the world consists mostly of shudras and a few vaishyas. And gradually, it is coming about that there are shudras only. Right, because even the Vaishyas aren't doing so well.
Yeah, this was in the... This is still early, so maybe by now we're already just fitting into that category.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, this is the late 60s?
Yes, yes. Communism is a movement of Shudras, and capitalism is meant for Vaishyas. And the fight, because what's the point of communism is Shudras, is because then there's equality. It means everybody will get the same. So if anybody has more, you simply take it away and give it to everybody. Even though it doesn't actually help anybody, but, you know.
But you don't give it to everyone.
No, you don't. But I'm just saying, even if you did, how much would everyone get, you know, if they got 1 cent, you know. Okay, great. Whoopee. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, yeah. So that's the point, because it's for Shudras, it doesn't really work, you know. And then who's going to organize it? So that's the, yeah. That's the Vaishyas.
Those who get the money.
Yes, yes.
So it is capitalism disguised as communism.
It means the guys who are running it.
Yeah.
But the problem is because they're not actually very good at it. It comes from the intellectual platform. So it comes from the intellectual platform, and then the administrators try to apply that. But it doesn't mean that they're bureaucrats. They're also shooters. And so, therefore, they don't actually can't make any money to take care of everybody, and the whole thing collapses. Right? So a few shooters farther east, and, you know, they figured this out, and then they introduced more capitalism, and then their communism is still working. In the fighting between these two factions, the Shudras and Vaishyas, gradually, due to the abominable condition of society, the communists will emerge triumphant. And as soon as this takes place, whatever is left in society will be ruined. Right? And then, because now there's no Vaishyas, then they will collapse, and it'll be ruined. The only possible remedy that can counteract the tendency towards communism is the Krishna consciousness movement, which can give even communists the real idea of communist society. According to the doctrine of communism, the state should be the proprietor of everything. But the Krishna consciousness movement, expanding the same idea, accepts God as the proprietor of everything. People cannot understand this because they have no sense of God. But the Krishna consciousness movement can help them to understand God and to understand that everything belongs to God. Since everything is the property of God, and all living entities, not only human beings, but even animals, birds, plants, and so on, are children of God, everyone has the right to live at the cost of God with God consciousness. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. So then, according to this, because if you're looking at it simply from that, what do you call it? If you only accept the humans and not the animals, then it means the less people you have to share the money with. Right? Could you imagine having to share, you know, it's an anthill? Okay, you know, it's like, okay, we're taking away this guy's billions, and so then we're going to distribute it. You know, so if we count this anthill as part of it, then, you know, that's a huge chunk of the money right there. You know, all the so it says, you know, all the ants will be walking off with all these $1 bills and all that, and, you know. Use it to yeah, I guess that's what, lining the nest, you know, like that. Yeah, it's kind of, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, is fully independent. Therefore, although it is the most confidential stored benediction, He can distribute love of Godhead to anyone and everyone without consideration. Srila Prabhupada comments. So this is not a purport? So that's why it's Srila Prabhupada comments?
It is a purport.
Because all the other ones, they just say Srila Prabhupada.
No, they were, so the format English changed.
This one I
forgot to change. Oh, okay. Okay, so it's just... So it's the purport to this...
Yes. Okay. They used to always say comments, and then except for that one.
I changed it.
Except this one. What's special about... Okay, we'll read it and find out why it's... This is the benefit of Lord Chaitanya's movement. If one somehow or other comes in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, without consideration of as being a Shudra, Vaishya, Jagai, Madai, or even lower, right? So they're starting, and then Jagai, or lower, right? He becomes advanced in spiritual consciousness and immediately develops love of Godhead. Okay, so I can see why you single this. Definitely a special one.
Krishna also tells, means women, Vaishyas, or Shudras are lower than this.
Yes. Yes, then that's very nice. Yeah, also that I always find it fun, that one where it tells the 12 kinds of tribals, and after listing the 12 kinds, because they're below the Shudras, it says after that it says or lower. You know, so, Whether he is offensive or inoffensive, anyone who now chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda is immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy and tears fill his eyes. Simply by talking of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, one awakens his love for Krishna. Thus all his bodily limbs are agitated by ecstasy, and tears flow from his eyes like the water of the Ganges. There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. Right, so he's offensive, inoffensive, but now he's given that up. Now he is chanting Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and chanting Hare Krishna. So it doesn't matter what his background was, that now one has taken up Krishna consciousness, one is chanting. Srila Prabhupada. It is very beneficial to chant the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because by chanting these two holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, one immediately becomes ecstatic. And if he then chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he becomes free of offenses. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right, so that's why I said, some may say that the Panchatattva Maha Mantra is more powerful, this, that, so we'll just chant that. Then you're not giving enough emphasis to Krishna. Right? And if you don't chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then there's to Krishna, not to the Panchatattva. So you have to use it as it is mentioned. Before chanting, one uses it. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first offense is to blaspheme the Great Personality, so engaged in distributing the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 7:11. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. One cannot distribute the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra unless he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not criticize or blaspheme a devotee who is thus engaged. So someone who is preaching and someone who is successful, you shouldn't blaspheme them, because otherwise how are they doing that except by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? It's not some tricks. Right? The movement doesn't go on because of tricks. Sri Padma Purana states, to blaspheme the great saintly persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. One should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one does so, he is an offender. The Nama Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. The second Nama Parad is as follows. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental, absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them to be material, that is offensive. Similarly, to think that the names of demigods, such as Lord Shiva, are as good as the name of Lord Vishnu, or, in other words, to think that Lord Shiva and the other demigods are other forms of God and are therefore equal to Vishnu, is also blasphemous. This is the second offense at the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord, right? Because just like we see the impersonalists, so it doesn't. All these different forms, they can all take shelter of the impersonalism. So then, any of these higher forms that are supposedly in goodness, then it becomes. They can worship in that. Wherever you focus your mind is the idea. You know, they'll generally say Vishnu will be the topmost position within, but they don't really make any difference that they're all just in that same category, depending upon who it is, right? So that's why the pantheism comes up, like I mentioned, Mayavad or pantheism. Because Mayavad means then you can basically worship anything. And then you see is that our friends in Calcutta, then they took it farther, you know, about the dog, you know, being Daridra Narayan or poor Narayan, you know, the beggar being poor Narayan. And so then they're not appreciating that they're taking everything as the same. It's all Krishna's potencies, and that's why it works. And it mentions about seeing things equally in Gita, but that doesn't mean seeing equally means you see the spiritual platform, how the energy of the Lord in that. That's the equalness, right? Not the particular position. Otherwise, if you can't tell the difference between one and the other, how will you use it, right? So the point is that, you know, when you say stones and gold, that they're seen equally, that means they're seen equally in that they have use in Krishna's service or not. And if they have use, then that means they're of value, and if they don't, it's not. Does that make sense? Let's say we're doing some service. We're making a garden, okay? And you have planted it out nicely. You put in the plants and everything like that. And so now you have the aspect of decorating it with some kind of, you know, how you say? Some decoration. So now would you use gold, or would you use rocks?
If you have it, you use the
gold. You just use the gold coins out in the garden in the front yard. And all that. You just have to go and put it back every day.
You have to melt them in proper golden sidewalks.
Oh, that you could do. But then, yeah. But then the problem is the goal of that will only get you to Australia. So, yeah. The third offense of the lotus feet of the holy name, which is called Garuda Avagya, is to consider the spiritual master to be material and therefore to envy his exalted position. Right? So they'll say, "Oh, but you know, there's this, there's that flaw, this and that. How can they be?" No, that's the problem. The fourth offense, Shruti Shastra Nindam, is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, such as the four Vedas and the Puranas, right? Because what it says, "Oh, but we don't care about those." The point is, no, we respect those. We just approach them through the vision of Bhagavatam and the Acharyas. But it doesn't mean there's not respect. We don't say anything bad about the scriptures. The fifth offense, Artavad, is to consider the glories of the holy name to be exaggerations. Right, because Artavad, again, Arta, you always exaggerate what it's going to be. Oh, this will be fabulous. Yeah. Similarly, the sixth offense, Hari Namni Kalpanam, is to consider the holy name of the Lord to be imaginary. The seventh offense is described as follows. To think that since the Hare Krishna mantra can counteract all sinful reactions, one may therefore go on with his sinful activities and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra to neutralize them is the greatest offense at the lotus feet of Hari Nam. The eighth offense is stated thus. Right? Because you know it will remove, so that's the whole point. You're taking shelter to remove all these things so that you can surrender more to Krishna. Right, to remove the obstacles. But just to consider, oh no, I can perform sin and then clear it, then it's just an activity of karma. It has no bhakti to it. The eighth offense is stated thus. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a religious ritualistic ceremony. Performing religious ceremonies, following vows and practicing renunciation and sacrifice are all materialistic auspicious activities. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra must not be compared to such materialistic religiosity. This is an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. Right. So, performing religious ceremonies, vows, practicing renunciation, they're all for it. They have a material benefit. So, that you perform the sacrifice that will get you some material benefit, you can't compare it to the holy name. Because the holy name, that then gives you transcendental benefits. So you can't compare them. Right? Does that make sense? Doesn't mean that you can't engage these in the Lord's service if they're recommended. But it's the engagement in the Lord's service that makes them special, not the things themselves. The ninth offense is described as follows. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name among persons who have no intelligence or no faith in the subject matter. Such people should be given the chance to hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but in the beginning they should not be instructed about the glories of the spiritual significance of the holy name. By constant hearing of the holy name, their hearts will be purified, and then they will be able to understand the transcendental position of the holy name. It means there's the process is there, and this is in this age, this is the process, but you're understanding about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the glory of the name, then you're leaving until they have more of an understanding. The tenth offense is as follows. If one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body and everything belongs to this body is mine, Aham Mameti, Srimad Bhagavatam 558, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is an offense. So he's heard all these, but he continues. That's why then the ninth offense. Right? So when we see that people are interested, then you can explain it. But if they're not, then you don't get into that kind of detail. If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.24, remarks that sometimes a Mahabhagavat, or very advanced devotee, does not manifest such transcendental symptoms as tears in the eyes, whereas sometimes a Kanista Adhikari, neophyte devotee, displays them artificially. This does not mean, however, that the neophyte is more advanced than the Mahabhagavat devotee. The test of the real change of heart that takes place when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that one becomes detached from material enjoyment. This is the real change. So the ecstasy is there. So the point is, if you have nothing on the material platform, then naturally that's there. So what you'll see is the first thing is that they're freed from material attachment. That then gives rise to these others. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Cha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. One is actually advancing in spiritual life, he becomes very much detached from material enjoyment. If it is sometimes found that a Kanista Adhikari, neophyte devotee, shows artificial tears in his eyes while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but is still completely attached to material things, his heart has not really changed. The change must be manifested in terms of one's real activities. Right, so that's what you see is then in the knowledge and detachment, they just come as a side thing. So that's how you know they're advancing, not just the ecstatic symptoms. Right? Otherwise, like here, we don't have so much of a problem with that, but you do have that there are those who they take great happiness in, how you say, imitating these things. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.